Welcome back to your favorite G.I. Joe podcast show, living the dream that is Oreo-flavored Coca-Cola Coke Zero here in the year 2024. What did we do? You can tell it's election season because the treats are getting bolder. This is Knowing Is Half the Podcast, and I am Ray Stakanis.
Have you actually found a correlation between weird treats and election years?
Well, I mean, I only started researching this about 5 minutes ago, and we're in an election year, and I have in front of me an Oreo Coke Zero, and it's delicious.
So you have a data set of one.
If that.
Cool. Listen, look, there's two schools of how to mine data.
I've tuned you out, and I'm now just looking at slippery Mudang footage.
That sounds dirty as shit.
I mean, it kind of looks thing. A little dirty, here's the thing. Too.
Pornhub needs a Mudang, like, tag
they
or
definitely do not.
Whatever. I just feel like it doesn't. What's the Rule 34? There should be a Pornhub variant of that, and that if you think of something weird, there has to be a Pornhub tag for it.
Yeah.
And slippery Mudang, 100%.
I mean, listen. I don't know. Like, I don't know if you saw the one where it's like the zookeeper poking her moist belly, and then like someone reposted it and was like, "This is how my girlfriend touches me," or something.
What? Okay, look. Here's the thing. I know of Mudang. I have not gone down the hole and seen all of the weirdness that the internet is bound to perpetrate.
I mean, you just need to, this video has no sound, so you can play it while we're podcasting. I'm just going to post one. One more. That's my fucking favorite. Because she's fucking crazy.
Oh no, she's biting the zookeeper's knees. Oh no.
I just love that the caption is Mudang is never dry or calm.
Here's the thing, Ray. The fact that we haven't started yet is neither of our faults.
Yeah.
I've started. As far as I'm concerned, all of this is in the show.
He's poking Mudang in the butt. He's slapping Mudang in the butt. Come on now. That is an underage hippo. How dare you?
There's one of like a monkey taking a swipe at Mudang, and the captions that the comments that everyone are posting about how they need to arrest the monkey are hilarious.
I also love that nobody can agree on what Mudang translates to.
It's bouncy pork.
There's bouncy pork and ecstatic pig and like friendly face, and you could just make up whatever you want. Hot wet sausage, I think, is probably the one I'm going to go with.
This is the video of someone grabbing her chub. It's not the funny caption about this is how my girlfriend touches me, but it is the video of the person just trying to grab her belly.
Again, Ray. I will keep watching weird Thai people like caressing a baby hippo.
She seems to like it though.
Oh, does she? Does she like it? Is she asking for it?
She's laying there and taking it.
Look at what she's wearing.
Well, why is she so wet?
I wonder if Ray has slipped into a diabetic coma.
I think so.
It feels like y'all just need this moment, and I don't want to get in the way.
Oh my god!
I keep telling you, start the D show.
I started the show, and then Gina made me slip into telling some, spitting some truth.
No,
and then everybody
way.
Got uncomfortable, and then we went to Mudang for 8 minutes. There's an intro already in there, Chan. We can just start it up whenever.
You Ray can- said something. I mean, Chan said something after the intro, and he was the one who got on a different.
Oh, no, I think Chan bears huge amount of this responsibility. Do not get me wrong here.
I don't know that I bear the responsibility, but I hippo it.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
That wasn't even really a pun. It was just naming a different animal. and I feel good about that. I feel real good about that.
So wait, does that mean you could find those videos you were talking about at Hip Porn Hub?
Oh God!
The wet hippo porn?
That's right.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Hip porn. We're into it. It's on now.
Hub. That's a thing.
Mudang means pork hub in Thai.
Yeah, I love that site. It's a good site. Yeah. Get some good recipes on there.
Yep. Yep.
But the show's already started, so I don't know how you're going to cut this. You're not getting a second intro out of me, Chan.
I guess no. Well, no. All you have to do is start talking about the GD cartoon.
It's true.
This week on the show, Chan found us something that, again, he's been doing a great job with these. I hate to give Chan all the credit, but he found something else that's kind of an underground, well-known 90s cartoon that I was not aware of.
Well-known? That, are we calling this well-known?
Well, here's the deal. There is an underground knowledge of it. As like, it's much like Legend of the Hawaiian Slammers. This is the Bubsy cartoon, a failed pilot cartoon from 1993 based on the semi-popular video game of the same name.
Go ahead and give us a shout out if you've ever heard of Bubsy, because I certainly haven't.
I absolutely knew about Bubsy, the game.
Oh, like, yeah?
I was 100% playing video games when I was, checks notes, in high school.
Is it as dog shit as this cartoon?
I don't remember. Bubsy is just, what I remember about Bubsy, now I haven't played it, but I'm aware of it. And my knowledge is it's just a 3D platformer, much like a Banjo-Kazooie or Ratchet and Clank.
Yeah, it did remind me of Banjo and Kazooie for sure.
Yeah, it's basically in the early to mid 90s, in this era of video games, I believe that we're talking about N64 right here.
No, I think it said Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo? Fair enough. I mean, I'll do a little bit of research here. It's a video game thing. This is actually the thing I'm supposed to know about.
Yeah.
It is the Heathcliff to Sonic's Garfield.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good, yeah.
That's great. So, yeah, so you got Bubsy, Super Nintendo, Bubsy 2, which says here is on the Genesis. They have come out with some more recent game in 2017. They took a break for over 20 years after Bubsy 3D launched on the PlayStation 1. So it did hit that era. But you've got Bubsy the Woolies Strike Back 2017 as found on Steam. So it's a PC game. And Bubsy's Paws on Fire 2019, again a Steam game. Both those last two I mentioned have ratings of 6 out of 10. Metacritic's 45% and 63% for the newer one. So there's something there. But these are generic-ass platformers. I was shocked. I shouldn't have been, but I was shocked that they tried to make this into more than it was.
I mean, like I was saying, it's like they see Sonic and see that he had cartoons by this point, right?
I believe so. I will check that out, too.
Yeah, like they were like, hey, some kid must be dumb enough to, A, buy the game, and B, buy the cartoon of the game that we're making. It's purely a cash grab.
It actually came out the same year, 1993, the Sonic the Hedgehog show. And quite honestly, Bubsy looks, like, stylistically tons like the Sonic the Hedgehog show. And I have seen that version of Sonic. I've seen that show. Because we watched Sonic Christmas for a couple of years ago. Probably 7 at this point, but yeah, a couple years ago. And it looks the same. It feels the same. But the Sonic show, it's also bad, but this is basically incoherent.
Yeah, yeah. What, you know, what it feels like is like, oh God, Sonic is putting on a cartoon. If we put out our cartoon first, we will win the snarky animal video game mascot war.
Yes.
And so they managed to get it out like 6 weeks earlier and probably should use those 6 weeks to write some jokes.
I mean, there's some craft happening in the Bubsy show, but I can't say they were trying that hard, right?
I mean, look. The voice actors, and they got top-notch voice actors.
They have the best voice actors you could ask for 1993. My first note, the second Bubsy started talking was, if you have a sassy character and it's the early 90s, there's only one person you call.
Yeah.
Rob Paulson, ladies and gentlemen, Michigan's own. Wonderful. Voice of Pinky, voice of Yakko Warner, brilliant performer, Raphael from Ninja Turtles. Biker Meister Mars. Look, you know who Rob Paulson is.
Hold on. Hold on. I think Gina may be doing her dishes.
Oh, boy.
I mean, I could have sworn that I heard some water and forks banging off the sink.
To be fair, Chan, that just as equally could have been you doing the dishes.
That's true. Or your kid.
I'm like throwing off the... Yeah.
Guys, someone keeps looking at very aggressive pornography on my computer.
Parentheses, sexy hippo sounds.
I don't want to accuse anybody of anything. I'm just saying I've noticed.
Is that a thing? Can you do people get caught like jerking off during podcasting, like Zoom work Zoom.
Oh, like people are boning on Zoom calls, people jerking it, standing around with no pants on, wang out on a Zoom call where they don't know their videos on. We've all, you know, pandemic made us all a little crazy. Let's keep it. I'm sure somebody has recorded a podcast. Look, I've just noticed some people have jerked off during podcasts before.
Who's making those jerking off noises?
Could have been anybody. Are you?
I
don't want to name names. I have suspicions.
I literally cannot think of anything less sexy than podcasting.
No.
How dare you? This is as hot as it gets.
Even like podcasts about like sex. Still not sexy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like if ever you want a boner to go away, podcast or listen to a podcast.
Hey, but, welcome back to the Mr. Skin podcast. I know none of you are jerking off right now.
I don't know.
Skin personified would sound like.
I don't know what your life is like, Gina. That single life, going to bars and telling people like, "Hey, I got a podcast." But you know, when I was on the market, all I will say is that. That's what I would lead with. Hey, I'm gonna check out my science podcast.
I mean,
and listeners, I am married to them now, so
I will say, I will say that on one of my dating apps, I did use my G.I. Joe cosplay, and it is by far the most liked photo.
No. That is a whole different thing.
Fire out of
whole
that.
Whole different
please.
Thing. That's got nothing to do with the podcast. It's just hot girl in a Baroness outfit. Yeah, that's gonna work.
I still have a lot of weird messages from people that are turned on by the fact that I have a G.I. Joe podcast. But then again, that's another difference between you guys and me.
It really is.
I don't think that's 100% true. I also get a lot of messages from guys telling me how turned on they are that Gina's on a G.I. Joe podcast. Oh, guys, this day's been crazy, and this episode is going to be sloppy as shit. So if you feel that this show isn't tight enough normally, I got bad news for you.
Wait, sloppier than Mudang putting her feet in some food?
Oh, snap.
Can we tell? I don't think we've actually told the people at home what a mudang is if they don't know.
The people at home don't know what a mudang is.
I didn't know till y'all told me, and then I see it everywhere now.
I feel like most people know because she's everywhere. She's on TikTok. She's on Twitter. She's on Instagram.
Look,
people are not terminally online, though.
You're listening to a podcast. Listening to a podcast. Go to your browser. Maybe it's on your phone. Maybe it's on your computer. I don't know. Maybe you're listening to this on LP. If you're listening to it on LP, then pull out your, wood-based browser. I don't know, but... You can look up mudang. It's spelled just like it sounds. And you can listen to the videos you can watch the videos without sound while you listen to us. It enhances the experience both ways.
And we know you're listening to a podcast, so we know your hands are free.
I mean, at least one of them.
That's all you need. That's all you need to find baby hippo pictures of mudang.
Mm-hmm.
We killed Gina. This is the one we killed Gina. I just wrote based on the first literal 60 seconds of the Bubsy cartoon. My first comment is this is unacceptable.
Here's the thing. Okay, I'm going to take a controversial take here because I did not like this. I'm going to start right off the bat by saying I did not like this. But when I examined it, it's not any worse than most of the stuff that we watch, because the first thing that I wrote was, oh God, the title of the episode is What Could Go Wrong or some shit. What could possibly go wrong? And it's also Bubsy's catchphrase, but he says it to me in a way that's like an episode of South Park making fun of a cartoon catchphrase. Like, it's almost like he's not saying it seriously. Like, he's saying, like, what could possibly go wrong? To me, it's like a sketch performer making fun of these types of shows. But then I was forced to think back to catchphrases like, did I do that? Catchphrases like eat my shorts or pretty much anything that Bart Simpson said in the first three seasons of The Simpsons. This is it's no worse. It's unbearable. But every character in an 80s or 90s sitcom or 80s or 90s cartoon that had a catchphrase is equally as obnoxious. It's just fallen out of favor now. So you're Abbott Elementary and they're not saying like, teachers go like this or something. That's the only thing I could think of for an Abbott Elementary catchphrase.
To be fair.
Hurtful, but true. The two things you brought up, one, The Simpsons, that was never a catchphrase. That was something that got merchandised.
He did say, don't have a cow, man. He didn't say it multiple times in an episode like they do with this one.
Right.
But there are younger cartoons. That's probably because that was an adult cartoon.
Yes.
But there are younger cartoons where they're saying the catchphrase. I mean, think of Scooby-Doo, maybe. Like, he would like zoinks and.
The other one you brought up. Family Matters.
Yes.
Did I do that?
Yes.
You being like a 4-year-old probably loved it. I, as a mature, I don't even know what year it was, but I was old. I feel like by 10, I would have been like, this is bullshit.
But my point is not that it's not bullshit. My point is it's not any worse bullshit than other things that exist out there. Like honestly, the plot of this was no better or worse than most of the middling stuff we've seen. Even put this like as low as Crash Test Dummies or something. This was if you boil it down to, hey, there's a scientist who makes a helmet that is basically a VR helmet, but that can make anything you think come true. I'm like, yeah, right. That seems like a plot of a cartoon pilot.
Here's the thing. The bones of it are, yes, very generic, very normal, very of its time. And I don't give it any hate for that. But the execution on so many different levels is just wildly inferior. And it, a Crash Test Dummies is a good comparison because they were both just like
about it that might make you both get on board immediately. That maybe Ray covered this when I was doing my dishes.
I knew it.
This 1993 TV pilot sponsored by Taco Bell. Did you cover that?
Did not see that it was sponsored by Taco Bell.
That was what the article that I read about it said. You know, 1993 pilot, failed pilot, sponsored by Taco Bell.
So they probably had a tie-in at the time and thought it would go off.
Yes, I don't know what else sponsored by means, especially because this the version that we watched had the commercials, and there was not a Taco Bell commercial.
No,
nope.
Not.
But yeah, sponsored by Taco Bell. Do you both love it now?
No.
I mean, I feel the same way after I eat Taco Bell. That I feel about
I have 3 points here. Three quick points. One, I feel like the pinnacle of all catchphrase mockery is of, obviously we've mentioned it before, the state with the I'm gonna dip my balls in it guy, Louie.
Yes, yes.
And they if that's what they were going, that was around the same time as this. It was in the early 90s.
That is not what they're going for here.
That is not what they're going for.
Wait, does Bubsy want to dip his balls in it?
The state did it very, very well and made it obvious. If they were trying to do a send-up of catchphrases instead of just terribly doing a catchphrase and sort of making that it didn't play.
So you hate Rob Paulsen is what you're saying?
I love Rob Paulsen, no, but I also appreciate the bullshit he was asked to do in this era, obviously. Number two, this plot was stretched out beyond all comprehension. It just never ends. This should have been two smaller episodes like many other cartoons of its era. This was perfect for like an 8 to 10 minute hit. The fact they stretched it out to a 22-minute show, there's just nothing there. It's the same thing over and over again. There's a helmet. We try to get the helmet. Everyone wants the helmet. And there's nothing, there's no real good heightening or anything. And the third thing that bothered me is it's mean. This show, people are just awful to
each other. You're just saying that because one of the only female characters is a fatty who wants to be a skinny.
Oh, no, well, no, she was the best. I mean, I didn't understand her, but I loved her.
Yeah, don't Kat Ursula was just fine.
I did love her. I mean, also, honestly, her goons, clearly defined goons. There were some fine things in here. You know, she's got two goons. One's an idiot. What is he, an armadillo or some shit?
He's an armadillo. Yeah.
No. The armadillo is the other rat thing.
Oh, wait, a shrew.
He's a shrew, so he's always hungry. And then there's like a fancy bird of prey always cooking fancy things.
And that's voiced by Pat Fraley, who's wonderful. He's also done a million.
No.
Wasn't that?
He was voiced by Mr. Neil Ross.
Was that our guy? Yes, oh my God, yes. You're right. Excuse me.
Honestly, it's a fun performance. Like I was like, yeah. Oh, Fancy Buzzard? I'm on board for Fancy Buzzard.
Well, I mean, he's doing Mr. Howell.
You're right.
A strong choice. This,
we mentioned it before, but the four lead men and two lead women, you've got the four of like the Mount Rushmore of this era of cartoons. You've got Neil Ross, our guy, Pat Fraley, Rob Paulsen, and Jim Mother Effing Cummings.
Wait, did you mention Tress McNeil? Show. Tress McNeil?
Yeah. And Tress McNeil, who is obviously Babs Bunny on Tiny Toons and a million other voices.
Yeah.
And then BJ Ward, who I believe also did a million voices. So, whoever cast this is brilliant. Yeah. BJ Ward, 230 credits. I mean, a lot of Scooby-Doo, a lot of Spider-Man. I mean, she's great.
I mean, honestly, this
G.I. Joe, voice of Scarlet. Voice of Scarlet on G.I. Joe, B.J. Ward. That's where I knew the name from.
This is one of those cartoons where there's no good reason why other cartoons made it and this one didn't. Especially like nowadays, it's based on IP. It's got famous voices. It's not the best, but it's not the worst. So I'm actually kind of surprised. Like we watch other pilots that didn't go and I'm like, yeah, I can understand that. This is like, you know, again, I could imagine them actually making this and it being acceptable.
We will. Okay, look, I'm going to start listing off the reasons why it did not succeed.
I'm not saying it's great.
Starting from moment one. This is trash. The song
it's
is
terrible.
Trash.
It's not that
the,
terrible.
The theme song is trash.
It's pretty terrible.
It's so 90s. It is so extreme. Guitar solo. Bubsy. Just no.
Yeah.
You're just jealous that you didn't get to do a voice on Bubsy.
But this does lead us directly into our first commercial break. And let's go through it. We got commercials in this one. So we have a Barbie bubble bath. But what's wild about the Barbie bubble bath is it's also a shower. A bubble shower.
I love it. I love an old Barbie commercial. Because this would have been the era when I was watching these commercials. And I was like, Mom, I need a Barbie bubble bath.
And you would be correct.
Oh, yeah. I did not have this, unfortunately. It was probably a little pricey for the Ippolitos at the time.
Barbie Bubble Bath, 1982.
No, that had to be later.
This is different. Yeah, I'm trying to find it on eBay. You can get this version for about $20 to $30 with shipping. That's terrible.
Wow, that's great.
I mean, it's not a whole lot of plastic.
It's not. I cannot find. It's all this same one. So this must have sold so well that nobody wants to give it up. That's what I'm going
to
get out of it.
Wait to see what this does to your targeted ads.
Dude, my targeted ads are so effed already. I don't even understand it.
Now you're going to get hippo porn and children's dolls bubble baths.
So it would be just like it always has been. I mean, please. Did I tell you the story about my Mormon friend?
I mean, the fact that whatever we were just talking about made you go into, did I tell you the story about our Mormon friend? I'm just going to turn my brain off for the next 2 minutes.
I got to share this because I love this. And I don't know if I've shared it on the show before. I must have, but I want to say it again. So I had a friend. I haven't talked to him forever, but he was Mormon, Mormon enough. He drank Coke, which I guess is good. But the thing about it, though, is he kind of on the sly, we were at a work thing, and he's like, hey, Ray, just real quick question. Do you get a lot of weird, targeted ads,
yes,
on the internet?
Yes, you've told us this.
Oh, you before. Have told us this, yes.
All right, I won't say it again. DM me for the rest of the story. I can't think of targeted ads without remembering that great moment out of my life.
I'm going to send you a picture that you will, that I hope is scarred in your mind already. Also for the people that are listening at home.
Okay.
You get
so,
to hear in your ear holes right now.
Yeah. Play the entire rap, please. Cause this is the second half.
Weekday mornings are cool.
Odie is crazy. Garfield is lazy. He loves to take naps all day long. Bugs and his friends are nuts to the end. They'll start off your day with a song. Who knows where he's at, that really cool cat. He's your favorite panther in pink. She's up with the styles and Fred lets a smile. She's Shusha, the girl with the wink.
Okay.
this is awesome, first of all.
I love it. This is the highlight of the episode.
This is there was a time when TV stations would do their own commercials. And for some reason, these people in, was this a Philadelphia channel or something?
It was Pennsylvania of some kind.
These two white people decided, you know what? Rapping's easy. Why don't we just rap the Saturday morning lineup so that people will tune in? And it is, I mean, I can't blame Bubsy for this. This is not Bubsy's fault.
Wait, are you genuinely telling me you did not love this? Because I unironically loved this. Seeing white local newscasters rapping about Garfield. Chan,
uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Who are you? If I said that to you 10 years ago,
yeah,
I feel like you would have loved it.
Wait a minute. Wait, Gina. Hold on a second. Gina, just from listening to that, you knew they were white?
I would have said, who are these appropriated motherfuckers? Colonizers must die.
In 93, you would say that.
I mean, honestly, I probably would have, it would have been that with more profanity.
Wait, are you under the impression that 10 years ago was in 1993?
I mean, as far as I'm concerned, it was. But we all know we didn't even learn that oppression existed until Rage Against the Machine's Evil Empire album in 1992. So,
listen, all I'm saying is in my time hop today, a couple of posts came up of us at the county fair, L.A. County Fair. Yeah.
We went to the L.A. County Fair.
And that Robert Clark Chan, if we were at the L.A. County Fair and I said, Chan, there are two people by the corn dog stand rapping about Garfield, you would be in. You would be in.
I would have said, let me grab my baseball bat and I'll take care of it. Relax.
That is not. Stop it, you. You can't fool us. We know you too good, RCC.
Yeah, you, I'm sending you, one of the LA County Fair posts.
How does this picture because, of not me, for starters,
you, first of all,
mean
you,
that I am not the firebrand that I am today?
Well, Chan, you were the one taking the picture, apparently.
Well, that's probably true.
Yeah. Wait, there was another one. Damn, I thought there was one of you eating a fucking corn dog. Like a giant corn dog.
That does sound like me.
Yeah.
Also, like, that's not something that we're going to post, so it doesn't matter.
Anyway, let's get on with this commercial break, because then we got an ad.
Let's talk about Doc Severinsen.
Doc Severinsen.
Eating motherfucking Bugles.
I would not have played, if you were to tell me who's the obvious pitchman for Bugles snacks in 1993, I would not have said the Tonight Show's own
McStuffins?
Brass player. Doc Severinsen.
He was the band leader. How dare you sell him short?
But he played. He played like. Oh, I guess he played actual like.
I think he did trumpet.
Trumpet. Yeah, yeah. Was it trumpet? It was not the bugle. To
listen,
my
understanding. It's a funny tie-in. It's a funny. Also, I used to fucking love bugles. You put them on your fingers.
Oh, bugles are great. Nacho cheese bugles. That's my jam.
I love everything about these commercials. I love rapping. I love rapping Garfield whites. I love Bugles.
Rapping Garfield whites? What the hell?
It was the trumpet.
I love Barbie Bubble Bath. I love them all.
He played the trumpet. That was his big deal.
Respect the dude, because like he probably did okay.
You think?
Being on a network TV show
for decades.
Yeah. But also, like, yeah. Do some commercials, man. Get paid.
Why would you not do a Bugles ad if you're Doc Severinsen? He's got a good look.
Yeah.
Not known by kids.
I found it, Jan. I found the one that I wanted.
Good Lord.
What? That's great.
That is going right on the Facebook page.
Wait, you really don't like that? It's adorable. Look at that weird outfit you got on, and you're
that
look
is,
at that. That's hilarious. I mean,
that is what I'm wearing is indistinguishable from what I wear today. So
literally. You look a lot less gray. What happened in the last 9 years?
How can you tell that? You can see
this
an inch of his
podcast.
Hair.
So the next ad is for Nature Valley granola bars. And this is one of those low-key 90s ads when they were trying to be an anti-extreme ad. And they were just like, hey, we're Nature Valley granola bars.
Oh, yeah.
You like us. We're crispy. Anyway, here's a white screen with a small amount of lettering on it. Okay. Well, hope you enjoy getting screamed at in the next ad.
I do enjoy the fact that, like, we were all duped. I mean, I remember I was kind of duped by the fact that they were like, oh, it's like candy as nature intended. Like, that was their thing. And I remember, you know, for, like, at least a solid year, a lot of moms at sleepovers would have nature, like they would think like, oh, I'm doing something good for the kids. These are healthy.
Yeah. Well, they are healthy. Yeah, yeah, don't tell me they're not healthy. Don't.
Oh my God. Yeah. They're as healthy as your Coke Zero, Ray.
Guys, I'll be honest with you. I drank about a third of this Oreo flavored Coke Zero and it's delicious, but
is that a 2 liter?
No, it's a 20 ounce. It's 20 ounce.
Okay, Jesus Christ.
Jesus, Chad. Okay. No, but I've drank probably about 7 ounces and my body doesn't want it anymore. My body's like, no thanks, we got it. It was delicious, but I cannot bring myself to drink it anymore. What a disappointment.
I cannot help you there.
It's good. I'm going to put it back in the fridge. I'll have some tomorrow as a treat.
Oh, sloppy seconds on an Oreo Coke Zero. Yeah,
that's only if someone else drinks it. It's not a sloppy seconds if I drink my own Oreo.
You can't drink a soda the next day.
Of course you can. What are you talking about?
If you drink your own Oreo, that is the very definition of sloppy seconds.
Also, once it loses carbonation, it is just sugar water.
Yeah, but that's the thing is, it's in a 20-ounce bottle, so I can keep the carbonation in there. It's like a can where it's all going to out of there.
Right? Also, I got me one of those fancy soda machines that can carbonate any liquid. So
that's not what Ray is talking about. Ray is just like, I'm just going to seal it back up and hope for the best.
No, but I also have the cast-off sloppy seconds Chen soda stream machine.
Oh, did I give that to you?
Yeah, I have it here.
Honestly thought I gave it to Calder. I have some extra bottles for you.
Oh, all right. Yeah, let's do it. I have to find it. It's packed away in the move. I need to find it again. Anyway, last commercial is furniture at Value City Furniture. There's a whole bunch of people like outside the door crashing it like a Black Friday or a Dead Rising intro scene. It's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Also, I want to get myself a Lazy Boy lounger for $99, as seen in this ad. I'm not going to lie. Holy shit.
Yeah, that's a pretty good deal.
That's a pretty good deal right there. Even in 90s. How much is that in today's money?
I feel like this is some sort of trash recliner that they get you in there with, and then you end up buying the like $400 recliner.
That's typically how it works. That would be $99 in 1993 is worth $215 today. That's expensive. Not bad. That's not bad.
It's one of those things where the price changes differently. You know how like TVs are less expensive now than they were in the 80s. And I feel like like furniture, like those numbers are off weirdly.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I've been looking at getting a Lazy Boy here for the house, and they don't go for anything less than like $300, and that's if you're like going for the lowest one you can find. So $215 for one back then, that's awesome. Look, okay. When I was that age, I found one on the curb and I brought it inside the house.
Ew.
Just sat in it there for years. Ugh,
you were sitting in scabies and pee.
I mean, I feel like most people don't pee on the furniture, B, like rub their scabies into it.
People get rid of furniture for a limited number of reasons. One is that someone or something peed on it. Two is bed bugs.
Mm-hmm.
Three is cummies so deep in the cushions that you can't get them out.
Oh my God.
Also known as the Vance. We could just call it that because cummies is
the fourth the is most JD disturbing your house. Yeah.
Thing I've ever heard in my life.
Unfortunate. Cummies. I'll be honest, that's only the only thing I'm going to say anymore, and it's going to get me fired from at least three jobs. Thanks, and that's the end of the commercial break. Only took us like 30 minutes to get through it. This is going to be a long episode, ladies and gentlemen. We all have some steam to blow off. I promise you that. It's been 2 weeks since we've recorded. And that's how it works. So we open the next segment with Bubsy looking at the camera and saying, what could possibly go wrong again? And I said, what could possibly go wrong besides letting this show get this far into production? That's what I kept thinking. How did this show get this far? That's what possibly went wrong. And then we're introduced to my favorite character, Arnold the Armadillo.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like how shitty Bubsy is to Arnold the Armadillo. I know he's supposed to be sassy, I know he's supposed to be Sonic, but Sonic is very kind to Miles Tails Fox or whatever his last name is. He's very, very kind to Tails. He's his boy. They're friends. Bubsy is an abusive asshole to Artie.
100%. And every single person, every single character in this thing with, and I'm not even going to say except for, I'm going to say with the possible exception of this armadillo, are just massive pieces of shit.
Just and everybody sucks.
I can't. Like, there's no redeeming value to any of them. I'm not happy to be watching any of them fail or succeed.
I don't want to see them interact with anybody. And Arnie is just, he's just trying to live his life with some sort of PTSD because he was, apparently he had some sort of a problem. That's an awkward picture. He had some sort of a problem with a truck at some point and he can't shake it. Like, he was almost run over.
No, I think he's just having nightmares of it because that's what armadillos have nightmares of.
I don't know. It felt a little too... a little too real.
No, it's supposed to be like when you're in a writer's room and you're like, what would an animal that's frequently roadkill have a nightmare about? Oh, becoming roadkill?
Well, he's having a dream where he's being hit by a truck and this shit gets uncomfortably real. Like, I felt for him. It was like watching that opening scene in Apocalypse Now where Martin Sheen blows out the hotel room in Hanoi.
That's your reference. You think that they're like watching Apocalypse Now and going like, you know what? This
And then he punches the mirror.
The doors
and
playing
he
in
really
the
hurt
writer's
himself.
Room.
That blood is real in that scene. He punched it and cut his own hand.
Thank you, IMDb trivia.
I mean, look, that's just film class.
The picture that I sent is one that definitely should be posted. It is Bubsy filleting the armadillo.
He sadly his tail.
In a very non-consensual way. Mm-hmm. It's on many levels because then also he blows on his tail and his eyes pop out. So the anatomy of this armadillo is concerning.
What if we did
concerning.
A which picture makes you more uncomfortable? Bubsy filleting the armadillo or you eating the corn dog? We put them side by side.
Uh-huh.
And we just say which one of these makes you more turgid / uncomfortable?
Yeah. I think that is definitely a thing we should do.
If I had Photoshop skills, this shit would be on. I said it before the break. I don't even know. There hasn't even been a break yet. But
and there won't be because you always forget to put them in as they tell us on Twitter and Threads nowadays.
I put the breaks in just in the wrong times because I forget because it'll be weeks that go by and then I'll go to get to the episode and I won't remember.
Literally, you have to do is keep a document open while we record and mark the time.
You hear this, Chan? Please. Please.
I mean, I have multiple documents open for this currently, so you're wrong.
I have one document open and I'm never looking at it again.
I'm looking at the Instagram page of Copenhagen Pastry right now.
I mean, this is on brand.
Is there a hippo on there?
No, but there is a delicious looking cake. And if there's two things I love, it's hippos and cake.
Did you hear the excitement in Gina's voice when she was talking about this cake? You can't fake that. That was legitimate love. Wow.
I mean, I'll send y'all the picture of the cake in the group chat and you'll agree. It's a good looking cake.
Y'all, we've sent each other pictures like 17 times in the course of this audio medium. Maybe that's not a thing we should keep doing. Anyway.
I mean, who's going to stop me?
Literally no one. No one will stop you. And
that
I will look every single time.
That is a beautiful raspberry lemon mousse cake.
There you go. Now everyone knows what it looks like.
Thank you. Yep. You basically painted a picture, Van Gogh. With your words. Bubsy wants the armadillo to be his sidekick, and the armadillo is like, go F yourself.
Yes, 100%.
Leave me alone. Why does he live there? It's time to move out. It's 93. The economy's good. You can get your own place relatively cheaply. The billionaires haven't bought them all yet. It's 93. You got this, Arnie the Armadillo. Get out of this toxic situation or get thrown under the couch by Bubsy because his like niece and nephew are there.
Jesus, the twins.
Also,
hold on.
Like,
before we even get there, fuck, this is how Bubsy, who shook this dude away, who was sleeping. He's sleeping. He comes screaming in, grabs him by the asshole and blows, and then says this about himself.
Come on, snap to him, Mr. Basket Case. It's me, the Prince of Personality, Bubsy.
That is, how is that not a satire of,
listen,
I mean, I guess this is the peak of this style that then gets parodied.
I could name 10 guys in comedy right now that would absolutely say this about themselves unironically.
And how many of them would you want to be on an improv team with?
Oh, literally none of them. But I don't want to be. I don't want to be on an improv team with Bubsy either.
Oh my God!
My point exactly. Honestly, if I can't see being on a sketch team with a character in a cartoon, I don't want to watch the fucking cartoon.
Wait,
I just can't
be
bothered.
Who do you want to be on an improv team with? Garfield?
I mean, dude's chill. Yeah, he's always got snacks.
Yeah. I'd be on an improv team with Garfield.
Yeah.
I'm gonna be on an improv team. Let's see. I'm gonna be on an improv team with Rubik the Amazing Cube, cartoon RoboCop for sure, and then Donkey Kong from that Saturday Starcade thing that me and Chan and Delvin Cox watched.
Oof.
The four of us would make. Look at the visuals on that. It's a hell of a team. It's a hell of a team.
I would be on an improv team with Shipwreck, even though he is absolutely the type of guy that even after it's been established that I'm the president, he would come out and label me a hooker.
That checks out.
I mean, also the reason you want to be on an improv team with Shipwreck is
to hook up with him and then break the improv team up with my indiscretions.
I mean, to be fair, he's probably going to be the coach.
Oh, man. Shipwreck is the coach of that team. And,
yeah,
Gina, look, I just didn't want to be the one to say it. I'll just say you've been on a few teams. That's all I'm trying to say. Oh, I am loopy. All right. So
well,
the obnoxious
of an
kids...
Oreo Coke Zero will do that to you.
Dude, I'm telling you, I'm feeling a little funny right now. I've had nothing to drink, but this Oreo thing's giving me a little spicy head rush. And I don't know what to say about it.
G.I. Joe will return after these messages.
Come with me to a place.
You'll be glad that you did.
Jeffrey!
It's so much more a water store with Toys R Us kids. It's a magical land. So where else would you go? When everything's at Toys R Us and prices are low.
If it's new and hot,
it's a toy they've got.
And the prices are hard to beat.
Oh, man.
You can search the whole world for Toys R Us kids now. It's the one and only place to go.
More games.
More toys.
Oh, fun.
It's the world's biggest toy store.
Now, back to G.I. Joe.
The obnoxious kids walk in the door, find the armadillo under the couch, and start ripping him apart, like limb from limb. They're yanking on his limbs and pulling them, and I hate them so much. Leave my guy alone.
My notes, in all caps, I just have, oh my God, is everyone in this cartoon awful? And turns out, yeah, they all are. They come on fucking skateboards, skateboarding in.
Oh my God.
Knock the shit out of everybody. Dude freaks out. Our guy, the armadillo, like curls up in the ball and they're like, let's kick that motherfucker. What?
They straight up dunk him in an indoor basketball hoop that's just at Bubsy's house. They dunk him 10 feet in the air.
Wait, is this, so the armadillo is roommates with him or what?
I assume so. Why else is he there? They're not lovers.
It seemed to me like he was just like, he's just like his neighbor slash friend.
Yeah.
And he busted in.
Yeah.
And like,
he's like a Kramer.
Yeah. Cause that to me is the worst part about this is that not only does he bust in, he then brings two youths And at that point, I would stab them all, call the cops and say, I thought they were intruders.
Sir, you don't live here.
I guess technically they are intruders. So you can stab anyone as long as they're inside your house, is what I've heard.
You have remarkable restraint, because I would not have made it that far before stabbing, before the stabbing it commences.
Gina, that's actually Florida law you're quoting right now, just unfortunately. I also like the fact we cut to this news report on TV where the lead story on the local news is armadillos get hit by trucks. Here's an image of the last thing they would see. And I'll be honest, I thought this was so surreal. The fact that they were, not only is he being tortured physically, but mentally as well by this show. It's an endurance test for Army the Armadillo. Arnie.
I don't know. If this is some sort of no exit, you know, thing where it turns out that he's actually in his own personal hell, then like I suppose I could get behind it.
You see where I'm going with this, Chan? This is the Amazing Digital Circus.
Oh, fuck. You know what? I'm starting to get on board.
If you were to tell me that the plot line of Amazing Digital Circus was Arnie the Armadillo in the Bubsy cartoon as well, I would agree with you.
Yeah, yeah.
If you have not watched that, go watch, not Bubsy.
You don't. You skip it. You can skip it.
Well, here's the deal. Let your kid watch it and let them explain it to you 300 times. I think that'd be the better.
Just be aware that the end of that road lies Chainsaw Man.
Your kid's watching Chainsaw Man? Stop it.
What?
Your kid is watching Chainsaw Man right now.
How many times have we... We've discussed this.
Have
this
we?
This is just like the freaking your Mormon friend in Targeted Ads. We've been over this on the podcast.
I've been hitting the head a lot. Have I said that on the show before?
Oh, boy.
So this is where I wrote the note, I hate this show so much. The armadillo abuse is so upsetting.
Gina, at what point in your notes does it say, I hate this show so much?
It doesn't, but mostly because I stopped taking notes after like 2 minutes because I was just like, all right, I get it.
I mean, that is Gina's form of saying, I hate this so much, giving up.
No, again, I don't enjoy this in any sense. I just think, like, I would rather watch another episode of this than an episode of Crash Test Dummies.
I would not. I would rather watch Crash Test Dummies. Aside from this news report gag, Crash Test Dummies at least made me laugh with their, they always are finding vehicles and crashing them immediately. That shit made me laugh every time.
No.
I had exactly the same number of laughs in Crash Test Dummies that I did in this one. That being one.
Interesting. Can you tell us when we get there?
I will tell you when we get there.
Okay. Because this is where I had my one in Bubsy. Was just the absurdity that this is a news report that's leading the news. And it's tailored just to assault the sensibilities of the armadillo. Now, they do their second news story, which is there's a VR helmet that makes stuff real. And they're reporting on it. So far, as they admit on the news report, it just blows up people's heads. It hasn't made anything real yet. At this point, we just cut to the scientist and his lab assistant having a conversation saying, we need someone brave to test it. We just need more testing on this. And she's like, yeah, somebody real fucking stupid is going to have to do this. And then meanwhile, they go back and forth on this for a solid like 15 seconds. And I'm reminded this is all just on the news.
Yeah.
This is the package they chose to use.
Yeah.
So Bubsy says, I will be brave and I will test this helmet. And so he will go do that.
So that's...
We'll be right back after this. There's no shot. There is no shot. There's an ad break right there.
No. We will be right back after this second and a half pause.
You're done. You're done, me, if the future. Let's talk about the bad guys, because the show's got to have bad guys. You have a cat lady who I love. She's wonderful. And she has, as we mentioned before, a buzzard and a shrew, Buzz and Sid, who are her sidekicks. She keeps them in line by running her cat claws on a blackboard, which makes a sound that they cannot handle. And this leads us back to Virgil Reality, that scientist mentioned earlier. She tells her lackeys, go get that helmet and bring it back to me. I'm not clear on their exact, the relationship here. They're clearly her sidekicks, but I do not know what they get out of it, what the structure is. I do not know.
There is definitely sort of an intimation that she and the buzzard are porking.
Oh, you think so?
Oh, yeah. I did not get that. You're inventing. This is your fanfic.
I mean, the world is my fanfic.
You know, hold on. Something just occurred to me because it's going to happen later in the episode. But Bubsy is going to look in the phone book and call the shrew's house, and the shrew will answer at this mansion. Is the shrew a dim-witted, like, billionaire who has been, like, coerced by this power couple to just let them, like, squat in his house? Because this house doesn't belong to them. His name is the one on the lease, now that I'm thinking about it.
I was surprised to discover, like, when she's like, oh, now I can wish to be rich. And I was like, wait, doesn't she have two manservants?
Yes.
How is she not already rich?
Well, she says she needs the virtual reality helmet to live the lifestyle she deserves. And I'm like, what more do you need? You don't work. You live in a mansion.
Mm-hmm.
Things are fine.
Yeah, like it made a little more sense to me when she like wanted to look a certain way. But then when she said she wanted money, I was like, I assumed you were rich this entire time. She has a butler slash chef. Like when we meet the buzzard, he's like cooking gourmet meals. Yeah, I'm unclear on her character, I guess.
She's just generically evil. It's like they have the tropes of older cartoons, but it doesn't add up.
Yeah.
Maybe if this had been purchased, you know, and taken to series, we would have gotten an intense backstory on how we got here. But probably not.
Would have been appreciated.
There's also Sid channels his inner tunnel rat by chasing a fly around the mansion trying to eat it. And I didn't care for it.
I believe his name is Sid Vicious. Which is a little funny.
Yes, Sid Vicious. Yeah.
Is it really? I think
they only really
say
it once, I think.
Better than Sid Justice. Better than Psycho Sid.
True, true.
I'll put it out there.
He hasn't gone off to play softball yet, so I don't know that was what they're basing him on, but I can see it.
True. R.I.P. Brilliant performer.
True that.
So we go back to our heroes, and Bubsy shows up at the science lab because he wants to do the testing. How does anything work? I don't know. How does anything work in this world? No one thought about it, so I'm not going to either. The way this helmet works, though, is that you put it on, you think of something, you blink twice, and it will somehow generate the thing in real life that you just thought of.
Yep, that's how virtual reality works.
That's that's how this VR... Also, they make a point to say it doesn't... We have never got it working. It just blows up. But Bubsy puts it on and immediately gets it to work.
I will say, like, putting it on the news, saying a machine exists that can make your wildest dreams come true, putting it on the news and making it very easy to find this doctor... He would have been assassinated within 2 seconds.
Oh, the SEAL Team 6 is coming in hard. It's over.
I mean, here's the thing. It only, so far, only explodes on your head. It doesn't do anything. So until...
Yeah, but you know that there would be someone who would be like, oh, I'll just steal it and then fucking, like, and then fix it. But people want it. People are going
to
want.
Maybe it's just like a sort of Emperor Norton thing. Like the news wanted to have him on as just like one of those. And here's a wacky idiot who, you know, like
maybe,
you know, like a the Red Bull Flugtag thing. Like, I look at these people in these dumbass soapboxes flying off the pier. That maybe that's what he is on the show for. The cat like doesn't understand. And obviously this dill hole doesn't understand. So they all, and it accidentally works. And so we're off to the races. Yeah.
So they need somebody super brave or super stupid. And Bubsy's like, I'm both. So let's do this. He says, he puts on the helmet immediately without asking any questions and blinks twice and says, I want to fly. So everybody in the room is now falling from the stratosphere.
Yeah, that's also, that's in no definition is it flying. Although I guess I will give them a pass because he does say it doesn't really work properly. So,
although what it's supposed to do is make your bring your imagination to life.
Right.
So it's possible that, you know, in much the same way that the armadillo keeps out this recurring fear of being hit by a truck, Bubsy's like inner monologue is constantly, you know, like I'm falling.
Yeah. I mean, look, Arnold ends up getting the helmet in this wild exchange. And I did thought it was sort of clever. They were like, Arnold, don't think of the truck. And much like in Ghostbusters, immediately, mm-hmm. like he thinks of the truck.
Yeah.
And so a truck just appears in midair and tries to hit them. And then yeah. Bubsy gets the helmet back and gets them all safe back on land, except for one of us. Guess who the one person who gets the bag is? Goddamn Arnold.
I wish
falls
Arnold,
from the sky.
Do we ever see Arnold get anything he wants?
Yes.
Or is it always
I think,
just
isn't
doom?
It the sequence at the end? Oh no, he doesn't. He gets the truck again. Okay.
Yeah, I want to see, like, what does Arnold want? I want an Arnold spinoff.
Well, I mean, it really speaks to the human condition that, you know, if you have been beaten down all of your life, you can't think your way out of it. Like, what he needs is a therapist, honestly, but you know he is so consumed with self-destructive thoughts.
I'll take it a different way.
He should dream up a therapist. He should dream up a really good therapist.
Let me say, I think what Arnold wants is to be left alone. And the fact that this series did not get picked up means he did get his wish.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this was all Arnold's wish? Is that? Wow. First of all, Arnold, as a writer, fuck you very much.
No, Arnold's wish was every episode after this one that do not exist.
Mm.
That's my
nice,
belief.
Nice. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. He rewrote history with his wish because in that alternate universe, this thing ran for like 14 seasons.
Yeah, yeah. And those writers bought houses.
Oh my God. Look, you know, we didn't get any more Bubsy, but we do. But Nazis are our thing again. You know, I'm just saying, like, he made a choice. It maybe wasn't the best choice, but like, yeah. Here we are.
This is how we get to the darkest timeline. You give a neurotic armadillo control of the entire universe.
It's first they came for Bubsy and I was silent. Look, Bubsy, Bubsy is a piece of shit. He walks up to Virgil, the scientist, yanks on his suspenders to an unpleasant point and breaks them. So now there's a gag where repeatedly Virgil's pants keep falling down.
What the hell, man?
Bubsy is a real piece of shit, and I do not like him. But at this moment, the children steal the helmet.
Yeah, I was going to say this was at a time when, I mean, go back and watch The Simpsons. Bart Simpson started out as obnoxious too.
Not like this, though. I mean, I'm not going to say he wasn't a problem, but he wasn't this bad, was he? I watched early Simpsons, and by that I mean season one and probably not much since then.
Oh, wow.
This feels...
The golden years, as we call it.
Oh, my God.
This,
remember when
this
he went
feels
to France?
Like...
What a great episode.
The writers hate children and feel like all they do is destroy things and have no impulse control, and, like, that's it. Like, there's no... redeeming qualities to them. There's no underlying sweetness to them. They're just monsters.
So these people understand children.
It would be fine, except that Bubsy is also a monster. Yeah. So there's no difference there, except that Bubsy, like, wants a thing.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Does he want a thing, or does he just want to show off?
He is Heath Ledger's Joker, as far as I could tell.
No, okay. Yeah, I don't know. I could see that.
So yeah, the kids steal the helmet and we go back to commercial again. Guys, I want to learn about this Tyrannosaurus Rex game. What the hell is this?
I feel like there's a lot of games that are just like,
I remember this.
The specific game?
Well, I remember this commercial because this is the one where they're like, but then you let him out or something like that, right?
Well, no, you put the bones on and then he freaks out at some point.
Yeah, but like, doesn't the VO start with like, for millions of years he slept, but then you woke him up or something that's like, hey, now this dinosaur's here to kill you?
I guess.
Play it. Play the beginning of the commercial.
He's been dead 100 million years, but then you woke him up.
Hell yeah, Gina was right. I was right.
What were you right about?
The children.
I was right about the beginning of the commercial. I was just saying, I remember this commercial because I remember that like moment where it's like, you, but then you did this thing. And I think like little me was probably like, oh, cool. Dinosaurs.
Oh, I thought you'd be like, oh, fuck, what did I do? Oh, no.
No, I wasn't that young at this point.
If we want to drop $50, I could get it on Mercari.
No, we don't.
We got Mall Madness to keep us warm. What are we talking about? Also, this has been remade by Hasbro as T-Rex Rex. It's the same game.
It seems fun.
Cheaper now. You can get it for $20.
I mean, it's the same as all of those games. It's like you are like that alligator dentist game or Don't Wake Daddy. You know, just like press a button and then eventually at random someone will, you know, lose. Oh, thing makes loud noise and we move on.
Seems fun.
Yeah. Oh, now I'm getting Tyrannosaurus Rex, the classic dinosaur board game, 2 to 4 players, ages 6 and up, 17 different dinosaurs.
Wow.
Paul Lamont Games. It's basically you move these, you got a bunch of dinosaur miniatures and a track, and you're trying to get all, it's like, what's that game? Is it Sorry? Is that the one where you have 4 pawns and you move them at, well, you roll a die and you move them different times and you try to get them all in the stable? That's what this is.
Okay.
But with dinosaur miniatures.
Dinosauri.
Yeah, and there's also apparently a T-Rex that joins the fray and tries to eat you. Honestly, okay. I might be picking this up. This seems delightful. We'll just bookmark that one for later.
Are you just looking for more miniatures for Final Girl?
They haven't done a dinosaur spinoff yet. I'm hoping for season 4, Chan. When are you going to come over, Chan, and we're going to play some Final Girl? You can see what it's like for yourself.
Eh, I'm already coming over for Arkham Horror.
Oh, that's right, you are. Soon. We got to figure that out. All right, the next ad is for the Bumble Ball, which I did not really remember this, but it's just like any other toy where it's a ball that's oddly shaped and it has a motor, so it bounces around. Bumble Ball.
Yeah, sure.
It's cute. If I had a toddler, I'd terrorize them with this thing. And then maybe this is the ad that really took me. Pittsburgh Penguins and the Make-A-Wish Foundation. Now, by itself, it's very honorable. Pittsburgh Penguins in the 90s, there was no, you know, bigger thing than those Mario Lemieux Pittsburgh Penguins teams. Jaromir Jagr, who I think is still playing 30 years later. Very talented. Won cups. They're great. Make-A-Wish Foundation. Nothing to sneeze at. Great organization. John Cena does 10 billion things a year for them. But what really struck me about this is if you made a $20 donation to the Make-A-Wish Foundation through the Pittsburgh Penguins, they would gift you a free gigantic-sized cell phone.
In 1993, right?
93.
Yeah, that bitch was huge.
This thing is absolutely... Oh, you got the picture of it.
This thing is
gigantic. I will make sure this absolutely gets a picture on one of our sites somewhere. This is the thing that you would keep in the car, and also a giant like handheld device. You ever see those like World War II documentaries with the radio operators where the phone is so big they have 2 hands and it's the size of their upper body?
G.I. Joe.
Oh, they did.
The phone dude has like a backpack that's like twice as big as he is.
Yes. That's what phones, for your kids at home, phones in the early 90s had not come quite as far as they are now. We had, if the idea of a phone in your car was the stupidest thing anybody had ever heard of in 1993. And then somebody figured out how to do it, and it was the size of your car. It was wonderful. I'm boring Gina, but I find this to be fascinating.
Gina lived it.
Yeah. Last one.
Hey, if you want to get, if you're bored, Gina, get ready for this. The Western School of Health and Business will teach you to become a respiratory therapist.
I mean, I don't want to argue with Ray, but like they featured car phones in movies from the 50s, like on up. And by 1993, they were already, they had already
been
featured.
Nobody had one.
But they were in movies as like, oh, this is a movie star and they have a car in their phone. This is a rich person and this is Richard Gere and he has a car in his phone. But no one thought it was stupid. They just thought it was expensive. But they had been around.
We thought it was stupid.
This is the same era as the Sports Illustrated sneaker phone, where they had a phone shaped like a shoe, and it was the commercials would see it, and it was the craziest thing they'd ever conceived.
That was a true innovation.
Yeah. Yeah. We need more.
Also, there was
phones.
One that was shaped like a duck. It looks like it. Hold on now.
Oh,
it looks
I love the duck phone.
But then you pick it up and there's a phone inside it.
Jan, what you about guys. The Garfield phone? Can I go ahead and just put that out there?
I still have the Garfield phone. It's in my bedroom at my parents' house.
Delightful.
Yeah.
It's delightful. What I love about, can you play a little bit of this trained respiratory therapist? Because something struck me while I was listening to this, and I realized what it was after the fact. You people at home, I'll say it after it's done, but you tell me what you think of when you hear the background music they chose for this local ad.
You need a job. You need a future. Your career as a trained respiratory therapist can begin now. Trained respiratory therapists are in demand. Today is your chance for a great opportunity. Great training, great career, great future. Western School of Health and Business, 281-2600.
That was ESPN's football highlights music. That is the music they would play in the background during SportsCenter and NFL Tonight. Whenever they would start up a football highlights package, and it kills me that that was just library music that anybody could just have at that time. That music is ingrained into my soul. I watched so many Barry Sanders Lions highlights with that music playing in the background, getting amped as shit. Not gonna lie, I loved it. Dun 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 dun. It was great. You know, people always say they want more Gina and Chan singing in the show. They never say they want more Ray singing in the show.
No, they do not.
I'm the one with the musical theater degree. Should I be offended?
Yes, you should be offended
that someone told you that was a real degree.
You a degree?
Yeah,
I have a Bachelor of Fine Arts in Musical Theater, and no one wants me to sing.
Mm-mm.
What's up with that?
Should have gone to a better school.
I mean, Ohio Northern University, the Fighting Polar Bears, is a wonderful institution of higher learning, especially if you're interested in pharmacy. One of the top pharmacy schools in the country.
Good. But is it as good as the Western School of Health and Business?
How could it be? We don't have ESPN music playing under our ads. So,
right.
Let's get back to Bubsy, because Buzz is now flying sit around like he's Gandalf and he's a giant eagle in Lord of the Rings. What is happening? That they're flying around. They find the kids that have the helmet and decide they're going to dive bomb them. It's time to make a wish. The kids wish for a pony. The kids wish for a speedboat. And I didn't understand this bit very well. Buzz is flying down to dive bomb the kids. He's getting too low. He immediately decides to start reading a cookbook to eat the bobcat children. But that causes him to fly into a cactus patch and run Sid through, piles of cactuses. And then at the end of it, Sid is holding a stick of dynamite.
I believe the that Bubsy hands him
it would be one of the kids that handed him like a corn cob with dynamite in it or something.
Wait, what the hell?
I don't know where it really came from. It was not clear.
The peppercorn, don't let
I don't. There was a birthday cake that the candles were dynamite.
That's what it was. Yeah. I couldn't really make heads or tails of this. Now, this is a B plot, C plot, M plot. It is the twins' kid's birthday today. So there's allusions to it. But, like, I don't know where any of this, how this happened. I don't get it. Anyway, the kids blink twice and create a giant roller coaster and take the villain duo hostage so they can terrorize them on the roller coaster. They're having a great time. The villains are not having a great time. It's role reversal. Hilarity ensues. Meanwhile, Bubsy is inside the house making poop jokes and saying, "I ate too many breakfast burritos today."
I am offended on the level of the potty humor, but also, you don't talk shit about breakfast burritos. Breakfast burritos are nature's most perfect food.
How
dare you?
I find breakfast burritos to almost entirely be unsatisfying.
You are not going to the right breakfast burrito establishment.
What everybody says, and then I go to the places they tell me, and then I'm still unsatisfied. Maybe it's a problem with me.
That's almost certainly the case.
I mean, in most instances,
every instance that I have run across, that has been the case.
Okay, and this is where I wrote, this catchphrase is garbage and needs to die. Okay, just put it out there.
Oh, why? Just because he says it 15 fucking times?
Could you play it again? Just because the obnoxiousness, I don't think we're really, we can't overplay how obnoxious this catchphrase is. And it's right after the breakfast burrito.
What can possibly go wrong?
I just hate it. I hate it. It's not a good. It's like if AI came up with a catchphrase for you.
What can possibly go wrong?
That was 15 seconds apart.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Do not need to say.
We should have done a count. We should have done a count. If anyone wants to rewatch this episode for us and do a count,
because we ain't gonna do it.
My final count was 7. I may have missed some, but there are at least 7.
Oh boy. Also, there's a thing this show does. If you ever remember the old HBO show Dream On, where they had the rights to a whole bunch of like old ass movies,
mm-hmm.
and they would just interclip clips of it. This show also does that, where he'll make a reference.
Muppet Babies did it too.
Muppet Babies was good though.
Yeah, Muppet Babies, is the difference, yes.
It's one of the main reasons that Muppet Babies and Dream On can never re-air anywhere or be released on DVD.
Is that right?
Which really sucks. Yeah.
Oh, what a bummer.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that. Dream On, kind of an overrated show, I'll just say it. A show about a mediocre white man in New York City who plows half the city.
I'm on board.
What you mean, like getting snow out of the
streets?
Yeah,
he's Amish. He's Amish, and he plows Central Park, yes.
Wow, that was very nice of him.
Yeah, honestly, it's a kindness tale. But I find it in Bubsy to be very irksome because it doesn't add anything. It's just like, man, that was rough. And then like a bull runs a guy over like for 2 seconds. And then we cut back to the cartoon.
Yeah, it is poorly deployed.
Yes. So the roller coaster's going on. It's not going well. I wrote here again, I really dislike this interplay between Arnold and Bubsy. It's just so upsetting to me. Because I think in many social situations, especially when I was still relatively younger and newer in Hollywood, I was Bubsy and perfectly nice people were Arnold and I was terrible to them. And I feel bad about it now. And it's like I have to relive my own past shames through this Bubsy cartoon.
Yep.
Well, you don't have to agree with me, Chan.
I knew you back then, so...
The thing is, you knew me when I started to calm down. That's saying something. Oh, boy, yeah. Yeah, ain't nobody calling me to work. Anyway, the point I'm trying to make is... The roller coaster goes into a full stop and launches the villains through the air. The villains, who I would point out earlier, one of them can fly. Doesn't matter. They hurtle through the air and crash land to hilarious. Hilarious pursuits.
They should have worn their seatbelts.
They should have worn their seatbelts is obnoxious. Saying it in tandem is... Oof.
I, as a youth watching this, am supposed to full-on identify with these two kids first and foremost, and secondarily on Bubsy's whimsy and childlike nature.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we all have ADHD now.
Blaming it on Bubsy, huh?
I never seen it in the day, but somehow... arbitrarily it got to me. Now I Chan, this is just what you said, my note: kids are being dicks, Bubsy's being a dick, Arnold's had enough of their bullshit, I've had enough of their bullshit, let's just immediately cut back because the stakes are non-existent. They try to act like there's stakes on this show, but Buzz drops Sid as his second plan and somehow it works. Sid grabs the helmet as he's falling through the air. And then Bubsy runs out the house as he realizes he lost the helmet. And Bubsy says, "Hey, Sid, are you hungry?" He says, "Yes." He says, "I got a corn dog. Will you trade it for that helmet? Because you're an idiot." He says, I think, even that. And Sid's like, "Yes, I will." And so Bubsy gets back the helmet. Sid has the corn dog. But once again, for the second time, there is an explosive in the corn dog. And he blows up.
Mm-hmm.
Hurtling him and Buzz through the air, which allows Buzz to grab the helmet. So the bad guys get it like a third time in this scene and just fly away. So now the cat's got the helmet. And what does she wish for? A giant ring. At this moment, I realize the kids are in their house. Why are the kids there?
They kidnapped them.
Why?
Do you really want to? Because you skipped over a whole bunch, including an entire commercial break, I believe. So
there's a commercial break right after this moment. Yeah, they're gonna try to eat the kids. Look, Buzz wants to eat the kids.
Yes,
that's why.
But you'll make it even better, Cacciatore.
Yeah, he even makes the slurping noises. So
it's mostly upsetting. You know, this is what we should have had Neil Ross on to talk about.
No, I would not. I would, for the same reason that the, what was it? I think it was a Darkstalkers that I was like, oh no, I can't. We can't do this with Christy Marks. This would just be a horror show.
Oh man, I want to do it. I want to watch it now though. That sounds great. Darkstalkers, there was a video game that a lot of people remember, but they don't make those anymore, I don't think. That thing died in the 90s.
Characters pop up in like Capcom games.
MVC, you're right. All right. Commercial break, here we go. Gina, you're back on board?
No, I've been having an asthma attack for the last 20 minutes and waiting for you to fucking finish up.
I was wondering. Something's going on because Gina's usually, well, not at this time of day. I take it back. I said it was going to be a long one somehow. Barbie paint and dazzle car, Gina, what do you think?
I enjoy it.
Same. Fox 53 has a kids club and a game show. It from the Pit game is a thing. Oh, that's another thing I need to look up. What is It from the Pit? That's another board game you can win through this, or you could win your own copy of Bubsy.
They release the It clown into your childhood bedroom.
Good God. That seems extreme.
I don't know.
Oh, God.
Too extreme for Bubsy?
Like, if I had to choose between watching another episode of Bubsy or having Pennywise loose in my bedroom, like, it would be a real toss-up. A real six of these, half dozen the other situation.
You're not totally wrong. 6.2 from Board Game Geek. It from the Pits from 1992. It's essentially a... You're running around the ring of what would be like a volcano top, but there is a giant Godzilla-esque monster with a giant hand who is trying to grab you. You're trying to get the treasure. I would have played the shit out of this if I knew it existed. You are trying to get the treasure without getting eaten by the monster. Again, miniatures.
Miniatures.
Plastic miniatures. They're all the same, it looks like. They're just different dyed colors. I might need to look up this, get the copy of this as well for future game night. Anyway, let's see. An ad for drinking and driving from Edgar Snyder, attorney at large. The holidays are coming up. Don't drink and drive or you murder your children. Good message from Bubsy. And finally, again,
right after the paint and dazzle car commercial. Jesus.
Yeah.
What are they saying?
Look, Barbie's having a brew and going for a spin. Let's keep it real. Yeah. And It from the Pit, man. And meet Andrew and Woody if you're not depressed yet. If this cartoon hasn't made you depressed, here's a child with spina bifida and a dog that saved it from a sandbox when the other kids left him behind. Holy shit.
I do not know who the target audience for this commercial is.
Well, first, I don't think the kids watching Bubsy are going to be drinking and driving. Otherwise, we have a whole other set of problems. This poor child. I just want Andrew to be okay. Because I guarantee you, Woody ain't there anymore. Spoiler alert. It's been 30 years. Have we heard from Andrew? Is Andrew a fan of Knowing Is Half the Podcast? That would really make all this come full circle.
Ugh, that what a sad Fingers life. Crossed. What a sad life Andrew leads.
No, that means he made it.
Yeah.
That means he's recovered. 32 years later.
Yeah, to recover and then listen to our podcast.
Yeah, I feel like, again, sort of a six of these, half dozen the other, which would you rather have, a debilitating illness or listen to this podcast? Could go either way.
Reach out to me on Threads. Would you rather have a debilitating illness or listen to this podcast? Everything is terrible. For Gina's sake, because she is dying, literally dying right now.
Yeah,
I'm going to speed my way through the end of this show. Because they didn't care, so why should we? I wrote here what went wrong. I'm not sure why I wrote that. But anyway.
I wrote the same thing, and I also do not know.
I do not understand why I wrote that. Anyway, Bubsy feels that he is a failure, and he picks up Arnie by the tail and flagellates himself with Arnie, doing more damage to Arnie than himself. And Arnie says, hey, mother effer, what are you doing? He goes, sorry, I thought you were a wrench. And I hate him. I hate Bubsy. I hate him.
He's the fucking worst. Because then he, like, after he thwacks him multiple times, he then throws him into something that electrocutes him.
Yeah.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Mm-hmm. Why?
But to be fair, Bubsy electrocutes his own brain later, so he doesn't think it's that serious.
How is that fair?
Yeah, but Arnie should get to choose who gets electrocuted if it's his own body. Arnie's body, Arnie's choice, Gina.
It is basically like Roe v. Wade. That's how important this is.
This whole show is an encapsulation of the importance of Roe v. Wade. I'm glad we didn't mess up this lesson in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so the scientist Victor or whatever, who cares, offers a VR tracking device.
Virgil Reality, the only halfway
honestly
witty wordplay in this thing.
I would also point out we haven't gotten to the part that made Chan laugh yet, so I'm a little nervous about that still. He says, here, I have a tracking device. I have a MacGuffin to get you to the next location. And Bubsy's like, hold on, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to use a phone book. He calls Sid, who is seemingly the owner of the mansion, and he offers Sid food. And Sid starts like mumbling to himself about how happy he is to be receiving edibles. And now some more things are coming into focus. He gives him his address. Buzz is trying to get the kids in the stew, but the kids throw Buzz in the stew. Holy shit. Put a lid on it. And now the cut over to the cat lady who is wearing the helmet. She takes it off, but now her hair is bad, so she's pissed off that they even brought her the helmet.
Why didn't she just wish for nice hair while wearing a helmet? Isn't that the whole point of the thing?
I asked myself that same question. Like, what are we doing here? I also asked the question, cat lady, what exactly do you do? The good guys show up. She tries her claws on the chalkboard bit. The other one lady is unaffected by it and slams the top of the chalkboard into her head.
Yeah.
Sid gets the helmet. Finally, it's Sid's moment to shine. And the only thing he can, this is the rushing to the end here. Sid gets the helmet. He can only think of food. And I said, this is what would happen if Gina got the helmet.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
Okay. Hold on.
Do something, Sid. Use your imagination, such as it is. Corn dog. No. Corn dog with a B.
That's what made me laugh. Corn dog. No. Here it comes. Here's the big use of the imagination. Corn dog with a B. And it creates a corn dog with a B, and he fucking eats it. I'm like, there's a man who knows what he wants. He sets goals and he achieves them. Respect.
That's the one that got you.
A corn dog with a B.
He's saying B, B-E-E.
And then it conjures a corn dog with a B.
Yeah, but why? Was he trying to think of something else? Or is that what he wanted?
He wanted, because he said a corn dog, and then he's like, what's better than a corn dog? Oh, a corn dog with a B.
Oh, because we saw him eat a bug earlier.
I mean, not just any bug, like the king of bugs.
I can't believe that's the one that got you. I'm not gonna lie. That to me was so forgettable. But here's the deal, though. Hey, they got one on you. That's good. That's a good
thing. They got one.
They got one on you. They got one on me earlier. They got one on you here. They didn't get any on Gina, apparently. At least she won't admit to it.
No, it gave her asthma, is what the show did.
Yeah, you got to brush those cats, Gina. Just saying. Oh, she's gone. She's gone. So one of the kids gets it, and they immediately imagines a birthday party because it's their birthday, remember? At which point, Olivia, the girl, lady from the sidekick to the scientist, gets it. And from out of literally nowhere, she wants to marry Bubsy and we're taken to their wedding. This was never alluded to up to this point. Am I mistaken?
Yeah, no. I mean, I never noticed it. And I thought that the fucking buzzard and the cat were together. So I'm clearly doing a lot of shipping, a lot of heavy shipping, and I did not get any sort of vibe from these two.
Did not
she consistently like gets his name wrong, which like maybe she's nagging him, in which case respect.
Okay.
She's got some game. But yeah, the out of nowhere this thing is weird.
Yeah, she's a real mystery, if you know what I'm saying.
Like maybe the idea was that she would be a continuing recurring character in the show. And like, we wanted to establish that, but like, I don't know, put it in the text. Maybe have her be like, oh, hey, you're hot.
In Phineas and Ferb, they have a friend, she's a member of like the Girl Scouts basically. And I'm completely blanking on her name and I'm mad at myself about it. But, she has a crush on Phineas that is always like in the peripherals, but never like spoken of. And then there'll every episode or every few episodes, there'll just be a line where she kind of like digs it in there to see what's up and it doesn't get returned. And so she just keeps going, you know, and that's good. That's fun. this is just weird. It was never hinted at in the entire episode. The only thing we have to work with here. I don't get it. Anyway, Buzz the Buzzard gets the helmet and imagines a big stew that every other character is in, including Cat Lady. And she's like, what the F, dude? And honestly, that one was all right. That one kind of, it didn't get me, but I was like, I appreciate that. At this point, Arnie the Armadillo gets the helmet. And you could argue that at this point, everything else is in his imagination. At this point, this is a Jacob's Ladder scenario. And even the darkness that comes after. But we'll move on. Because he imagines the truck again, who shows up at the front door and plows into the house. I mean, crazy bit. I'm here for it. I didn't laugh, but I was like, all right, I get you there. The cat lady gets it next. She imagines
in the middle
herself
of all of these people trying to get the helmet away from her.
Yes.
Her plan for defeating these people, getting away, in some way maintaining control of the helmet, is to ask to be on a TV show.
Have an Oprah-esque TV show, yes.
No, what? Oprah? No, this is friggin' Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous.
Oh my god, did you confuse
her own show?
What the hell are you talking about?
No. You know what? I wrote here because when she said my own TV show, my assumption was going to be that it was an Oprah-like show where she was Oprah.
That feels racist.
A person of this era, it's racist. A person of this era that people would potentially aspire to be more like, very successful. Instead, you're right, it was Lifestyles of the Rich and Famous. So it's just her living in basically the same place with as much money as she has now. I don't get the motivations here, is what I'm trying to say. Anyway, Bubsy gets it finally. And all it's going to do is blow up at this point. The helmet's going to blow up. It's electrocuting his brain. Everybody else runs away. And then he uses the helmet to tie up all the bad guys, creating a win, and then turns to Arnold and gives him some sort of weird Captain America speech about success or some bullshit.
Yeah.
And that's how the show ends. Like, we're just done at that point.
Yeah, well, I mean, almost.
Besides, what could possibly go wrong?
Oh, God damn it, Chin. God damn it.
One last one.
Give me one last blast on your way out the door, lady. Just hit me
and
one more time.
That's it.
That's
whole
Bubsy
thing.
This is our super length episode of Bubsy. Gina died, unfortunately, 20 minutes ago. Regrettably.
Yeah, that was a rough
boredom. Of boredom.
I hate to be the one to... We started mostly on time. This episode has to be at least an hour 40.
Well, not when you cut out all the front part stuff.
You're gonna cut out all the assassination stuff?
Yeah, I definitely am.
But you left this part in, right? Where I talk about it?
Yeah, and everyone's just gonna assume that one of us threatened to assassinate someone and we're cutting it out to cover our butts.
I mean, it's what happens. So, I mean, here's the deal. I'm okay with it.
Hi, I'm Kevin Goatee.
Hey, I'm Kevin Israel.
We host Gutting the Sacred Cow, the best and most unique movie debate podcast out there. Why?
Because we invite our guests to pick a film that they find overrated or hate and try to convince us to see their argument.
They must pick a film that is a financial success, widely beloved, or critically acclaimed.
That's right. Some of the films our guests have tried to eviscerate, Raiders of the Lost Ark, Pulp Fiction, Ghostbusters? You can find us on all podcast platforms like Apple, Google, Spotify, and more. And if you want to watch our smiling faces, we're also on YouTube.
GuttingTheSacredCow.com is where you find all of our information. And we look forward to our guests infuriating you when they attack your favorite films.